in the family by grace through faith. Verse of Scripture 31, talking about Rahab. I kind of passed this over and backed up because it's really dealing with salvation. And as I got to thinking, the first thing I do when I go to my study of a morning, about the first thing I do when I start talking to the Lord, I thank Him for my salvation. Because when I first got saved, I was so proud of my salvation that God showed me to open the door, and I stepped through the door of salvation by faith. And I thought, man, that was it. I mean, salvation, that's it. But after just a little while, I began to see, after just stepping through that door, God began to show me a long haul. It extends so far that, you know, the more that you grow in grace and knowledge, that haul gets further and further. I can't even see the other end of it. And all along that long haul that we begin to walk in life path, there's doors on each side that God begins to open the doors to you and let you understand about your salvation. You know, there's a door of forgiveness, and there's a door of conviction, and there's a door of peace, and there's a door of grace, and, you know, there's a door of fellowship, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And I said, well, I can't think of a better subject to thank God for than salvation, that how He saved me. And I knew that it wasn't nothing that I had done or nothing I was worthy of, but it was strictly by grace through faith. I realized that. And that door, that hall began to grow longer each day of my life, and so far down, all you can see is doors on each side. Oh, He's so good to us, isn't He? Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11 is about a door of grace. Rahab, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Let us again praise the Lord. Father, we thank You again for this day. And Father, just open up the book. It gives us more encouragement each day as we just read Your beautiful word. And Father, we know it's alive, and we thank You for that. And as the Holy Spirit of God just shows us so much about our salvation. Father, here tonight we have a picture of each and every one of us, oh God, that we know that anybody that's here tonight is saved, was once lost, Lord. They had to come to a knowledge that they was lost before they could be saved. And we just want to thank You of that door of salvation, Lord, through faith that we open up, oh God, and You allow us to do that. But also the long haul and the corner, Lord, that we walk down of life path. And Father, so many doors that You begin to open up to us and let us understand that it's not just one door, but it's many, many doors into salvation. The one great door we step through, and from then on, it's just grace and grace and grace. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for that, that we might praise You here this hour tonight, for Lord, for ourselves, for our families, and Lord, knowing God that that door of grace was opened up to us, and Lord, that we have that You have opened up that door also to our families and our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors, that one of these days, Father, at the end of that hall, Father, we'll all be together with You, Jesus. And what a great day to be when your family, all of us, walks down that great hall of faith and my salvation, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that one day we'll be with Him again in heaven, oh God, with all of our families and our loved ones. And Lord, we just want to praise You and thank You this hour that You made it possible, God. Grace, Lord, through faith. And we just thank in the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight we talk about old Rahab. And how she got into the family of God is an example. How I got into the family of God, and how you got into the family of God, and how everybody gets into the family of God is by this example we have here in the Bible about Rahab. I know we all have heard the story. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace you are saved through faith." That's what saved her. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Thank You, Lord, for that gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by feelings, not by fortune, not by fighting, not by friends, by grace through faith. Jesus said, as He was talking to two blind men, they asked Him to heal them. He says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And the blind men was healed because they believed that Jesus Christ could heal them. Now the story here about Rahab, transformation of a harlot, what God's grace did for her also does for us. Because you see, nature forms us, sin deforms us, You know, the world conforms us to the world, but education informs us, but faith transforms us. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Now, she's living in spiritual darkness while she was in Jericho with all the rest of the lost people. She was a Canaanite, destined and far what? Destruction. But she found grace through faith. How she did this, and she was transformed. And she went on when she was transformed to marry the prince of Israel, Solomon, or as you pronounce it, not Solomon, but Solomon, some of them pronounce his name, the great grandmother she became of David. She became part of the bloodline of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible, Matthew, given his line according to the flesh now. We know that Jesus Christ's true bloodline came from heaven. But she come from a child of hell to be a citizen of heaven. You know all we all was? We all belonged to old Satan. We all was. But you see, every one of us. What a time to praise the Lord when you think about it. I like to skip over this, Lord, but he brought me back to this. You know that she come, Lord, from a shady lady to a shining star. You know, and we just praise the Lord as you think about this title now. In the family by grace through faith. And we know the story. We have to go back to Old Testament, Joshua chapter 2. And God has commanded the children now on to go on in and take the land. And his people was already promised the land of flowing milk and honey in the city of Jericho. We already talked about that. They already took the city of Jericho. Before all this, we see the first task that they had was Jericho. And already God had given it to them. As you study the fall of Jericho, now we find out that Joshua, in this particular story, selected two men to be representatives and also to be spies. And they went to that city to spy it out, see what they had to do. And how in the world did they just meet this one woman? All the people, it says it was a great city. I mean, it's big, large in number, large in population. But how do you reckon those two spies met this lady called Rahab and they witnessed to her? And, you know, through their witnessing, you know, she was transformed. She was what? She was convicted by the Spirit. And she was convinced by the Word. And she was converted by the blood. And those three things there is how we all got into the family of God. By looking at her life, we all got into the family of God. She was convicted by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God convicts us. And I thank God for that. You know, before you say that God convicts, starts working your heart like he did her heart, and he starts working you, and he convinces you that you know what, that you are just a lost, doomed, and damned sinner and on your way to a place called hell, and there ain't nothing that you can do about it yourself, nothing. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He convicts us that we're just worthy of a place called hell. Every one of us, we got to understand that first. And I think not only that, you know, but I thank the Lord for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? Because he convicts us continuously. Not after we save, but, you know, he convicts us more after we save than it was before that we got saved. He keeps convicting us. And you know, he won't let us be satisfied in sin. I thank the Lord for that. Now, Joshua chapter 2, and y'all know the story. I'm just going to read a verse or two in Joshua chapter 2, starting verse 8. If you want to turn with, if you don't, it says in verse 8, chapter 2 of Joshua, and before they was laid down, that's two men that come to her, and she hid them upon a roof. She came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sinon and Og, whom ye early destroyed. And as soon as we have heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there any remain more any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth. Now here's what she tells the people, those two men. They come to her, and she says, listen, they tried to catch him. They were going to kill them too. She hid them. Because her house was by the wall and on the roof, and so she hid those men. This brave woman made a very glorious statement of faith, because who had been working on her? The Holy Spirit of God. How you reckon those two men knew to come to her? The Holy Spirit of God guided them. So she made this beautiful statement of faith. who been working on her? The Holy Spirit. She had such conviction, a lesson about the Holy Spirit. If we look at this woman's life and how the Holy Spirit operates on you and how the Holy Spirit operates on people around us today. The Holy Spirit saw this woman, you see. We don't understand the Holy Spirit, but the tendency of the spiritual things began to work upon her heart. As the Holy Spirit worked on her and bring her under deep conviction. Did you get under deep conviction before you were saved? You sure did, or you wouldn't be here tonight. I can tell you, the Holy Spirit worked on you. An example for all of us. And this is not what God has said about the Holy Spirit. Way back in the Old Testament, this is what God is saying. Also today, he's saying how that we'll be able to put into the family of God. How the Holy Spirit brings people to Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit searched the whole area, searched that whole city. That woman was there. You know what the Holy Spirit's doing tonight? It's working the same right here in the community, right here in our area, right in our own homes, places that we go and work every day. The Holy Spirit's doing the same thing all around us every day as it did back those years ago when Rahab needed to be saved. Looking around, finding a person and starts working on that heart to enlighten that person's heart. That's what it's doing. You see, we fixing to find out in Vacation Bible School, we hope to have a large number. Hope the kids come, and we hope the adults come, whatever. But you see, there may be somebody already that the Holy Spirit of God is working on that person's heart and maybe bringing them into where they may hear the Word of God. See, that's the way we say. Maybe it just be that somebody might witness to them. See, the Holy Spirit finds a soul winner also. Now, these two men was divinely guided to that person, Rahab. Now, the Holy Spirit is always preparing a person. Now, you know the Holy Spirit's out there. We don't know where the Holy Spirit's working out, but there's some person tonight that the Holy Spirit's working on. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And all the city of Jericho, how big it was. Well, this was a pretty good area we got here, you know. But why? What chance that the men happened, to find her house? Well, you see, the providence of God, we don't understand all about the providence of God. These two men was guided missiles to her house. To her, guided missiles. You know what? We need more people to be guided missiles for Jesus Christ. God's doing his part. He's preparing someone's heart. And then he tries to get a saved person to go to that person or to witness that person, a guided missile. The Holy Spirit's working on someone around this area right now tonight. We know that. That's for sure. Then the Holy Spirit looks around and he can find somebody who would be a soul winner. Somebody would talk to that person about Jesus Christ. There's a person waiting for you and waiting for me that the Holy Spirit is working on, trying to find that soul winner. The Holy Spirit is preparing that heart. And the second thing, the Holy Spirit is preparing a messenger. Now that messenger, they may not be obedient to the call. That may be us tonight. But you see, that's what the way the Holy Spirit always works. In the New Testament, we bring it a little bit closer, we might can understand it. In Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian eunuch. And you know the story, the Ethiopian eunuch had been into Jerusalem to worship. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 8. Was there to worship, and you know it was nothing just Judaism, and it was just a dead, dried out religion. And the Ethiopian eunuch was leaving, still hungering for the word of God. And there he was in the chariot reading Isaiah. He was reading Isaiah, but he didn't understand it. He didn't understand what he was reading about. But then, the story there. There was a man called Philip. He was a deacon. He was having a revival. God says, you leave this revival, I got somebody I want you to talk to about Jesus. He left the revival, and he led him to the place where this eunuch was. And he explained to him of the word of God about Jesus Christ. He's reading Isaiah about the Lord Jesus and how that he was saved. And then you remember Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, he was a worship of God, close to the temple, always give alms. And he was a Gentile, needed to be saved, didn't know how to be saved. And then God sent a guided missile, his name was Peter. Peter was up on a rooftop, taking him a nap, and the Lord let down a sheet, about unclean things. And old Peter went, and witnessed to him. Y'all kind of know the story now. But not all that, you remember whenever Jesus Christ went to the woman of the well, she is a woman, was seeking after water. He says, if you drink this living water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. The Bible says, I must need go through Samaria. You know the story how Jews didn't go through Samaria. They'd go all the way around, really go through Samaria, because Samaritan was half-breed of people. They didn't like them. Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. He was the one. There was a person there. The Holy Spirit of God was working on, and he was the person Jesus Christ would tell her about this living water, the story. The Holy Spirit wants to guide his people. You know, that's one thing God wants to do for us. He wants us out working for him, and that's the way that we work for him. He wants to guide his people. You know, Pleasant Hill, in the morning we're going to wake up. We hope we're going to wake up in the morning. As our church, members of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, as they wake up, they start spreading out over two or three counties. Y'all know it? Like a spider web. They don't tell how far they're liable to go in surrounding counties to the workforce and everywhere they go, even traveling or whatever it might be. Might be a pleasure trip, but they're going all over. Think how many people of Pleasant Hill, member of Pleasant Hill, and they're going all different directions tomorrow. They're going out there, you know what? And there's a person out there that the Holy Spirit's already working on and trying to lead and guide us to that person that needs salvation. So we should be witnesses, but also we should be part of the evidence of salvation. In Joshua chapter 2 and 10, it says, I know what that God has done, she said. She already knew. She heard the word of God. I know what the Lord has already done for the nation of Israel. You know, she said, I've already heard from the Red Sea how he parted the Red Sea. She said, I've already heard how he'd been guiding the nation of Israel for 40 years, how he gave you manna. She said, I've heard these things, how God brought you out of Egypt by a great hand, and how God really killed the two kings, Sihon and Og. I know what God has done, and I know also what God is doing. I know what God's doing for me. What's he doing for you? We ought to be bringing people to Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit has already been there. We look at us and look at us, you know, and they something different about us, or they should be, to make people say, hey, well, there's something different about them people. There's something about that Christian. They're going to Pleasant Hill. It's just supernatural. The Holy Spirit, in order to bring conviction, always uses some of his people, you know, in their lives and in the evidence of their life to be victorious in their life. That other people might see this and they might come under conviction. Now, I know this of my personal self. Now, you think maybe that you're not something special, but you are. And you think that you may not be supernatural, you may not be living the life that you think you might ought to live, but I'm going to tell you, there's something different about you. I'm going to tell you how that I know this, because of my own life. You know, I come to Pleasant Hill when I was lost, the old church over there. And I was under conviction. The Holy Spirit was working on me, you know. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was working on me. And I know I needed something. I really didn't know what I needed. But man, whenever I begin to come. Now, people, you know, a lot of them are going to be the Lord, but they feel just like you feel tonight. You feel like you're something special. Do you really think you're living like you ought to live? Well, you may not feel like you are, but I'm telling you, there's something different about you. There's something different. Because when a lost person comes into the house of God, right here even tonight, you know, there's something about that, the power of God. That's the reason it's so important. The more and more people you have, the more and more power that you see the Holy Spirit has whenever a lost person comes to enter in around God's people. Well, you see, I knew that I needed something. I knew those people at Pleasant Hill had something that I didn't have. I didn't know what it was. But the Holy Spirit worked on me, and I knew that they had something that I didn't have. And whatever it was, I wanted it, but I didn't know how to get it. So I sat back on that back, and, you know, the Holy Spirit be talking to me, and be talking to me, and the preacher would be preaching. I know he was talking about me. He would read my mail. He knew everything I was thinking, seemed like. Who'd been talking? Who'd been telling that preacher about me? He was preaching right to me. You see, sitting on my shoulder, and yeah, that preacher's right, you know. Yeah, he's right. And then there was another spirit. I needed to come down. He said, all right, come on, come on. But there was something on the other side of my shoulder talking to me. And that other thing said to me, and I didn't know which one to believe, you see. I thought both of them was of the Lord. But one of them says, now you need to wait. You need to wait. You know what he said is the truth. Yeah, I believe that. You know that your life ain't where it ought to be. I know that. Did you know that you need some things in your life cleaned up? why don't you go back home now? Now, you're not there going to walk down that aisle in the shape you are now, are you? No, not me. I ain't going down like this. I know some things in my life need to be changed. Well, you go back home, and you get those things straightened out, and then you'll be in good shape to come. Well, I tried that for several weeks. You see, I didn't know the difference between the Holy Spirit and the devil. You know, there's a spirit also. People don't believe that, but there's a devil spirit too. And if you don't know the Word of God and don't hear the Word of God, you don't never going to separate those two. But I kept on, you know, and after a while, you know, the Holy Spirit kept on. And I finally found out other things sitting on my shoulder was a liar. Because I found out I couldn't do everything he told me to do, and I couldn't get my life no better. But those people still had something that I needed. After a while, it broke through. You come just like you are. And receive Jesus Christ by grace through faith. And it's not of your works, nothing you can do, because I tried it. And I couldn't straighten my life out. I said, well, I reckon I just got to believe you, Lord. And that's what it's all about. Just believe in God. Just believe in God. Oh, I tell you, I thank God for that. I really do. Since I already knew all this, and God uses us to bring people. You know, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, I believe the day of Pentecost, when, you know, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, there was great miracles. You know, the miracle of fire, miracle of tongues, there was a miracle there. The unsaved people was there. And they said, what meaneth this? See, there was unsaved people in the amongst of those people that were saved and on fire for the Lord. And just like I was. What in the world? These people got something different than I got. I want what it is. And these people there in Acts chapter 2 says, man, what in the world meaneth this? There's something supernatural. We don't understand this. But they was brought under deep conviction as I was and you was. Brought on a deep conviction in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Men and brothers, what must we do? They was ready to do something to be saved. Why? In reason, most people, you know, they're not saved, but they know they need to be saved. There's something wrong. But if they're not saved, if more people are not being saved at Pleasant Hill or anywhere else, did you know why they're not? I got a reason why they're not. I want to show you tonight. I want you to go home and look in the mirror because I did today. The reason more people are not saved because of us. Do you think for a second that the Holy Spirit's not doing his job? You know, it's our part of it. The guided missiles that we're not going out and we're not witnessing the people as we should. There'd be more people down here Sunday morning begging out to be saved if we would be the person that God had called us to be and be the witness that God has called us to be. Just look in the mirror. See, she was convinced by the Holy Spirit of God that she needed to be saved. She was convicted by the Word of God. Now, that takes us to something else, the Word of God. Now, Joshua chapter 2, and start off in verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, she's talking to these two spies, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. All right, when you leave now, I've showed kindness to you. The king tried to kill you. I hid you on the roof, let you down my cord. Now, whenever you come in here to take this city, remember me. And that we will save alive, that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brother. You see, when people get saved, they start thinking about their family. My sister, and all that have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men asked her, your life or ours, that's a picture for Jesus Christ. If you utter not this our bidding, if you don't tell on us, and it shall be when the Lord have given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the winter, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, give you to the mountain. Get to the mountain, hurry, lest they proceed after you. And hide yourself there for 3 days. That's when Jesus Christ was 3 days on earth. Until the pursuer be returned, and afterwards may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thing, oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come to this land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the winter, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and their mother and their brother and all thy father's household home unto thee under this roof. That's a token that I'm going to give you. Put all your family under this roof. Now, verse 21, it says, according to your word, so be it. She received the word of God, did she not? She received the word of God. Now, in verse 25, remember what it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way. You see, she was justified. These messengers were more than just spies. Now, what she had heard the word of God, she had acted on the word of God, and real faith is taking God at his word. People say, well, I'm trying to muster up faith, trying to have faith. You can't have faith apart from God's word. You see, it's God's word. You just can't have faith until God gives you the word. Faith is your response to the word of God, what he's told you already to do. See, that's what my faith was when I got saved, responding to what God told me to do, to come just like I am, through faith in Jesus Christ, not of my works. That's Romans 10 and 17 tells us. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's not just for salvation. That's on and on and on in the Christian's life. Never have faith until you listen to God. Never, never, ever. As we kind of hurrying right along here tonight, she is converted by the blood. By the blood. Joshua, same chapter 19 through 21. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the door of the house into the street, out of her house, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thy house, his blood shall be upon our head if any harm comes to him, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit, or we won't be required not of thy oath that we give thee, which thou have made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so it be. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the winter. You see, that scarlet line had to be scarlet. Wonder why? Well, it goes all the way through the Bible, the scarlet line. It runs from Genesis to Revelation. Happenstance, you think it might have been because it was scarlet? No, it just runs through the Bible. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do for them? They tried fig leaves. That was the first type of man-made religion, but it didn't work. You know what he done? He killed innocent animals by the blood, slain them by the innocent blood of animals. Abel, right outside the gate of Garden of Eden, you know, he offered his lamb. God accepted it because it was by blood. But, you know, Cain offered his works of his hand, vegetables. God rejected his. And Abraham, it goes on through the Abraham. It goes right on through the Bible. Abraham offered up Isaac, you see, and he was going to kill Isaac. But a ram was caught in the briar, in the thickets, in the thorns by his head, a substitute. You know what Noah done when he got off the ark after the flood? He made a sacrifice. Made a sacrifice. Blood. You know, in the wilderness for 40 years, the tabernacle, hundreds and hundreds of animals of smoke from the temples and also from the tabernacle. Hundreds of animals were killed because all have sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1 and 7 tells us, but if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His son cleansed us from all sin. Rahab was clean. Are you clean? People get sick. We prayed for the ones on our sick list tonight. We prayed for them to be healed out of the hospital. That's what we all want. The more important thing is not for God to spare our physical life. Far more, you know what we should be praying for? That the soul be cleaned. Because no matter what we pray for, no matter how many times God might heal us, no matter how many times he delivers us back from the hospital and deliver us back to health, we're still going to die if Jesus Christ don't come back. What's more important than my physical life is the cleansing of my soul. And that is for everybody. Hebrews 11 and 31, you know, as we already had read this, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. As you think about this, James 2 and 25 says, you know that old book of James? I like to read the book of James. Don't y'all like to read the book of James? Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? We know that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 again, not by works that any man should boast. Then an old Isaiah. Old Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they may be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Rock of Ages, clip for me. I like that old beautiful song. Be of sin a double cure, save from wrath, and made me pure. I believe old Rahab sung that song because she was pure. The blood of Jesus Christ done that. Because you see, it's not the amount of sin that any of us have done. It's the fact of sin that we are guilty. You know, if one half of sin would go unforgiven, you know what? It would send us all to hell. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, the same is guilty of all. You know, the worst form of badness, as old Adrian Rogers said, is human goodness. Whenever human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth, what he's really saying is, you ever tried to witness somebody was just a good person? I mean, really, you can't be good to you say, but the Bible said none of us good, no, not one. But I mean, just a good moral person, a good mother, a good father, a good husband, a good wife, work pays their bills. I mean, just a good a neighbor, just a good friend, just a good, what we consider, say, man, that's a good person. And try to witness to that person whenever they look around and see people on drugs or alcoholics or don't work, don't take care of the family, and there they are doing all these good things. And yet that person don't understand that that person needs to be saved just like that old drug dealer and drug addict or whatever it might be, you know. Need to be saved just as much as that. Jesus says, you know, to that righteous crowd when he's walking on his road, the Pharisees, he says, the harlot and the publicans will go into heaven before you do. Why? They were so self-righteous, they didn't see the need of salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and that's what you tell people about it. That I'm a good person. God says, no, they're not nobody good enough or ever will be good enough. They don't need to be saved. That one of the hardest people that I've tried to talk to and I have never made too much headway is Mormons. Mormons are very, very hard people to talk to about salvation. All Mormons are lost, I can tell you that, if they believe in their doctrine of by works and not by grace and not by blood. If they believe in their doctrine, there's no Mormon that's saved, according to the Word of God and not by me. But their salvation is of good works. If you'll be a good woman, if you'll be a good man, if you'll be a good husband, you'll be a good wife, you just be a good person. And they are morally good. I worked with some of the railroads for 40 years, and I mean to tell you, I really love this man especially. He's done dead now, but I tried to talk with him, and he was just a good man, do anybody any favor, do anything, but he could not understand that he needed to be saved because he was working every day to be a good person. And that's the way they go to heaven, by being a good person. But God says there's none of them good, no, not one. That includes all the Mormons and all of us too, if you think that you can live a good life. A good lady, they hard to talk to because I ain't done nothing wrong. The old black man and I used to, I'm going to lie, an old black man at the railroad, I used to talk to all the time, and he didn't understand why that he needed to be saved. He said, I ain't done nothing wrong. I don't do nothing. And he did. He was just a good man, tending his own business. But a good person like that is so hard to witness. A lot of times, it's a lot easier to talk to somebody that's a down-and-out person. It is somebody that's real, real good. Very, very hard. And I'm just going to close right now. But Rahab got into the family of God by grace through faith. And I want to thank the Holy Spirit tonight because that's the same way that I got into the family of God. I did not deserve it. I had to be born in the family of God. And by grace I was. And so that's something to make all of us not just praise the Lord. I think you could order really, really praise the Lord. And a lot of time you see on this table, we just have Memorial Day. Memorial means to remember, and a lot of people forgot about our country. They forgot what made it great. They forgot about the people that's died and buried in foreign lands. They just forgot about Memorial Day. All they had, all the splendor, all, but they really have forgot. You know what's more serious than that? This table. People forgot this. I want you to know how many Christians will be on their knees Sunday night when we take the communion. This table, and he says, remember, on this table, remember. How many will be remembering it? That's serious. You know, if any other time, if any other service, not from what comes from the pulpit, but this church should be full of any Christian that will remember what he's done on Calvary's cross for me and for you and for whoever else is saved. They need to remember. Thank you tonight. I appreciate you. Thank God.